Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we continue to worship him this morning. Lord, we thank you that we get to worship you. And Lord, we just cry out for more of Jesus as a nation, as a church body. Father, I pray that we would understand this freedom that we have is a freedom to worship you, to lift up the name of Jesus, to make the name of Jesus known in this world. And Father, we just confess we are broken as a nation. Father, we need more of you. We need a repentant heart. We need to humble ourselves. And Lord, there's pain, there's turmoil, there's divisiveness, there's anger and bitterness. And Lord, we just need to be encouraged and through the blood of Jesus. And so, Father, we look to you. And you are good, God, and you love us. And you're in the midst of all this, you say you are in control. So, Father, we look to you for strength and for wisdom that comes through your holy word. I pray, Father, that you shape us and mold us by your word. And Father, we live it out. We wouldn't just turn our back from it or just hear and walk away, but we would live it out. I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us through the week to live for you, to shine with the love of Jesus wherever we go, our workplaces and our homes, Lord, and our communities and our neighborhoods, wherever we can, Father, shine with the love of Jesus. That's our heart's desire and our prayer. Father, for those that are hurting and broken today, I pray that you would restore them, encourage them, heal them, Father. For those that are listening online and just discouraged, Father, or unable to make it, we pray you would encourage them and lift them up. And Father, we just pray you'd bless them, Lord. Thank you for this morning where we get to worship you. You are incredibly good. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and pull them out. We're making it to the second half of Colossians today. It's very exciting. We've been in chapter 1 and 2, and now we made it to chapter 3. So we're excited as we kind of work our way. We'll be in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1-4 this morning. And this is kind of a bridge. This piece is kind of a bridge that kind of connects the not just the middle part of the letter, but it's also a bridge connecting the first couple chapters, really dealing with the theology and who Jesus is and who he is and who we are in Christ. And now looking at kind of, a morality. He's going to be addressing some very specific things and what it looks like to be a family and what it looks like to live in this world. And so we're going to look at that over these next couple weeks as well. But it's the bridge, it's built on this one word that kind of says since or if. I'm not sure what your translation is. In Greek, it's the same word, since or if, and it kind of builds upon that. And today what we're going to be talking about is our minds, okay? Our minds. You know how we, a lot of times in our minds, go through difficult seasons, and it's a battle. It's difficult. You know, and I was even talking with someone this morning, you know, and they were feeling kind of depressed and difficult season and how struggle it is. And as we walk through those times full of anxiety, maybe that's been a season of anxiety and a number of children and adults that are walking through that right now because of all that we're going through. So we're going to look at our minds, and this is what it looks like to have our minds set on the things above and really find the peace of God. So if you have Colossians, open them up. You can follow along on the screen as well. But Colossians chapter 3, verses 1-4, I'm going to read that, and then we'll kind of dive in. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life now is hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So this begins, it says since, or it says if, and really this is, if you are in Christ, it's a question that's being posed to us. If you're in Christ, then you have been raised with Christ. And so the question is, have you surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ? And if you have surrendered your heart to Christ, and you said, you know, God, I want to receive you in Jesus Christ, I want to surrender my heart and my plans to your will and to the things of Jesus, then Paul goes on, and he's going to list two things that we do if you are in Christ. So, but before we look at those two things, I kind of want to dive into this, if you are in Christ, this first phrase, this first sentence that he kind of gives us there. Because it relates back to, if you would just go back to chapter 1, just flip the page back one chapter, one page, and chapter 1, verses 15-22. And this is an important section that kind of connects with where we are today. So if you hop back just a little bit, you can kind of read there in 15-22. It says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So there it says that God is, the invisible God is made visible in Jesus Christ. If you remember that passage and that verse when we were studying it a couple weeks ago, you can go back and read it or watch it online. But the thing is we went through all the New Testament passages pointing out that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. So we have this visible representation of Christ and of God. So he shows us who he is, and that he is the firstborn. It continues on that he is the firstborn over all creation. For in him, all things were created. And so we know that everything was created on heaven and earth in Christ. Then verse 17, I really believe, if you haven't underlined 17, 17 is a great verse to underline and to use in your studies. It says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And this is an important passage for us today. Because how do you set your minds on things above if you don't realize that God is before all things, and in him all things are created in heaven and earth? So, I mean, you think about it. You think about your struggle. Think about what you came in today and your biggest worry. And a lot of you have, you know, a lot of us come in with heavy worries, heavy burdens. You know, maybe things are tough at work, and maybe things are, you know, just a season and wondering and the uncertainty. And so we have these heavy burdens, and you think about it, and you need to realize this verse is true for you. It says Jesus is before that worry. And it says Jesus is within that. And we need to remember the context of what we were talking about. If you remember, the historians believe around 61 AD, there was a major earthquake in the city of Colossae. And therefore, great devastation, great destruction. There was loss of life. It was very, very difficult. And Paul, possibly knowing about that earthquake, you know, writes to them saying, you know, you just lost loved ones. You've lost friends. Spouses have lost spouses. It's been a very difficult season. And he says, Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And you know, when we talk about our minds and the way we think, what's your biggest fear? Is it your biggest financial strain? Maybe there's a financial strain. Maybe there's a big relational loss that you've gone through, or that friendship is just not restored. And maybe, you know, you've had, you know, kind of a worry and anxiety over the season we're in. Well, it's important to know that Christ is before that, and he is in that. And I think that should also give us a peace knowing that. Verse 21 says this, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. But then it goes on in verse 22, and it says, but now you've been reconciled by Christ, physical body, through the death, to present you holy, without blemish, and free from accusation. It says, since you are in Christ, for you who are in Christ, you know, and that's how that verse 1 goes, verse 1 and chapter 3 begins. So you are now free from accusation. And why is that important? Our minds, I don't know about you, but I think our minds get so fixed on accusations. You know, we can just get so tripped on it, and we get so, you know, when people have spoken about us and kind of, you know, said something, it's hard for our minds to have peace. It's hard for our minds to think about things above and not think about the pain of those accusations and those things, and we get when we're continually accused. I mean, maybe you live in a house where the spouse just literally says continually just accusations and, you know, saying you're never enough, you're never keeping up, you're never good enough, and you kind of feel that. Well, that's why this is important. Let your mind drift to things above, because you are free from accusations. You know, if someone says you don't measure up, you say, no, I'm free from accusations in Jesus Christ. When I am in Christ, I can be free from that. And it's so hard for us to take our minds and give it to Christ. Even on the best of days, those good days where it's like, I should be thinking of the Lord. You know, it's so hard for us to give our minds to them. Then think about when Satan's whispering in your ear, saying you're never good enough and reminding you of those hurts and those wounds. It's so hard to let our minds drift to the things above. But it says in verse 21-22 that you are free from accusations, and we are presented holy to Christ. And that's a beautiful thing that we need to see today. So even, you know, a lot of times, I don't know if you feel like this, but our minds have these battles going on. Does your mind ever have this battle? I feel like some days I've got like right here, you know, I've got the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, you know, and they're telling me, you know, care for that person, love that person, support them, you know, forgive that person. And then on some days I feel like over here I got whispers of the enemy. And they're saying, oh, do you remember what you did? Do you remember how hurtful that was? And, you know, and the thing is that battle that goes on in my mind. It goes on between, and you know, it's like one moment you remember, you know, what you did and it hurts and you're not good enough. And then the next moment you say, no, Jesus says, I am free in Christ. I am freed by the blood of Jesus. I am saved. I am covered. And you're reminded of that. We have this battle. Did any of you ever feel that way? You know, that kind of that wrestling going on, the whispers of your past and the hurts. And then Jesus says, no, look the other way. It's going to be okay. And we have that kind of that battle. Well, I want to tell you today that he is before all things. And in him, the key words there is in. Sometimes we struggle with the big words, but it's that little word. In him, in Christ, we are raised with Christ. But before you go any further, the question is, are you in Christ? Have you surrendered your heart to the love of Jesus Christ, to the wooing, to the calling of Jesus? Because then, and since then, he says, if you are in Christ, he gives us two things. And these two things, if you read in verse, the end of one, it says, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And then in verse 2, it says, set your mind, or another way of saying that is kind of to lock in, to kind of lock your affections into Christ. He says, lock in on the things that are above, not on earthly things. Now, people that study minds, I'm not an expert in that, but I've looked at and read some studies. People that study minds, I thought this was interesting, believe that in our minds, every one of us goes through 60,000 thoughts every day come into our mind. I don't know about you, but I was kind of, I was like, what? You know, 1.4 seconds, every 1.4 seconds, new thoughts are coming into our minds. And I think this is probably shocking to you if you know a man around you that you have ever said, you know, what are you thinking? And you're like, I know you're thinking something, and you get that, nope. You know, so we now know the truth that there is a thought there, you know, and we have some thoughts. I kind of wonder when they took that 60,000 thoughts, if it was an average, you know, maybe for ladies 110 and men 10, you know, maybe as an average, but I don't know how it works. But they say 60,000 thoughts every day. And so you kind of, you know, that says that we have a lot to think about. And you kind of, you know, what are you thinking about this week? How has your mind been? You know, has it started to drift? And, you know, those 60,000 thoughts, you know, a lot of them can be full of hope, right? And they can be full of joy. But a lot of them are not full of hope, and they're discouraging. And some of those thoughts are pure and really centered on the Lord. And some of those thoughts are unpure and wrestling with, you know, even who we are. And some of our thoughts are, you know, noble, and some of our thoughts are not noble. And you know, and so we have this battle. We have this battle kind of going in with us. And sometimes we even have these thoughts where we want to scheme and get someone back, and you know, and then we have these, you know, thoughts where it's like, Lord, bless them, and Lord, move in their hearts, and Lord, restore them and care for them and love them. You know, where are your thoughts this morning? Where is that battle? Has it been a hard week, a difficult season the last couple months? And here's the thing. We think, our brains are much more capable than we give them credit for. But also, at the same time, our minds can a lot of times drift to bad places. Wouldn't you say that was true? I think that's true for a lot of us. So what's the health of your mind today? What's the quality and the condition of your mind? Is it in a good place? Now, just a little bit, I'm going to share just a little bit about myself this morning. As we kind of break this down, and I pray that you can kind of find yourself in that battle of keeping your mind on things above is where we're kind of thinking about today. But I'm naturally an optimist. That's just kind of my nature. I mean, generally, I think that things are just always going to be good and awesome. I think there's three kind of people generally. There's, you know, pessimists, there's realists, and there's optimists. And I just kind of find myself kind of in that category of optimists. And mornings I wake up, I don't have to have caffeine right away. I can kind of charge into the day, and that's just kind of my nature. I know some people that literally cannot stumble out of bed without that caffeine or that coffee. And like I know someone that was so involved in coffee that they, in the mornings, it's kind of like they only use hand signals. It's like, don't talk to me till I have a cup and I have my 10 minutes. And so you just kind of give the time out. Don't talk to me. And they kind of use hand signals. But that's not who I am. But why am I saying this? It's because I want you to know also there's some mornings where I wake up and I don't feel like an optimist. You know, I feel like I kind of have a black cloud over my head, and it's a difficult day, and you know, you feel exhausted, you feel kind of bothered, and you, can anyone relate to that? Have you ever feel where there's days where it's just like it's a difficult day? And maybe, you know, you feel discouraged and you literally want to stay in bed all day. Or I know some people just want to stay in their PJs all day, you know, and you no longer, you know, have a passion for your job. There's no motivation, and you're spiraling into depression. And there's a battle. Now, a lot of you have probably heard over the last couple months about the World Health Organization, the WHO. I think we've all heard about it, okay? Well, I've got to tell you, there is a statistic from the WHO that said that depression is now the number two disabler of people. And it's only second to cardiovascular disease. And they also believe that depression in the next 5 to 10 years will overtake as the number one disabler of people over cardiovascular disease. So we need to know that, you know, a lot of us have felt depressed, felt anxious. You've been filled with worry. And here's the truth. People of faith are not immune to depression. We just aren't. Yet sometimes, here's the truth, sometimes you walk into church and the church can be a hard place to carry that into. You can, you know, say, you know, I'm kind of struggling, and what, sometimes somebody will give you advice. Oh, look up this verse, write this one down. And that's wonderful. It can be encouraging. But sometimes you also are saying, no, I'm still battling. So I'm going to say, you know, worship a little bit more. Turn on, you know, KJL or, you know, K-Love, and you know, lift your hands and worship a little bit more. And you know, we just kind of tell them to fake it till they make it. You know, keep going. It'll be okay. And yet Jesus hears that. He hears our hearts when we're walking through this battle in our minds. And here's what happens. When you come to church and you come and you share your struggle and you sometimes can feel shamed. Maybe, you know, you've opened up to someone in the church and you felt shamed. And you feel like, you know what, my faith isn't strong enough. I just, you know, I'm not able to worship this week. And they kind of say, just keep going, fake it till you make it. Well, I want you to know there is absolutely power and freedom in God and in Jesus Christ. There is freedom and power in Jesus Christ. But when you feel shamed, what we do is we start to learn very quickly that we need to stop sharing our struggle. Well, oh, I can't talk about that here. I can't share that with them. I can't, you know, and what we do is we internalize that. My prayer as a pastor here is my prayer that New Hope would be a church where you can come as you are. You can show up, and when you come and you show up in those hard times and those hard weeks, and maybe you have to move a different section or something like that, but you will feel cared and you will feel loved, and you don't have to suffer in silence. Because we need to be able to minister and care for and love and share the love of Jesus with one another and walk through that. And what we are committing to as a church is to set our minds on things above. As we do that corporately, but we also, I pray that our hearts would be joined together on this earth and that we would deeply relationally love one another as a church body as we all continually seek the grace of God. So please know that you do not have to suffer in silence. We have elders that would love to pray for you and care for you and walk through that season and encourage you through that. And I want you to know that God loves you and God cares about you. And God cares about you in that as you walk through that difficult season. I got to tell you, we have some families in our church body that have been through great pain, great depths, and great losses. And I pray that we would know that we care for them, that we love them, and that we would give our lives and our hearts to caring and serving others. That should be our heart's desire. I love this church. We do that. We heard the need from Guatemala. The people in Guatemala right now are hungry, and we sent them almost $3,000 to feed the whole village for the next 40, 60 days. I love that. We saw a need in our community, and we filled the food banks, and they sent a letter this week saying thank you to New Hope for all that you gave and blessed and as we committed. And I pray that right here in this room, we would be loving on each other in the name of Jesus Christ. Because your suffering matters. Don't suffer in silence. Church, let's be the church. Let's care for each other and let's rally around each other and love those who are hurting. I pray that that would be a characteristic of us. Romans 8:1 says this, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's good news for all of us. As you are in Christ Jesus, it says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I pray that we are in him today. And I don't know, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you put your faith and your trust in him today. And as you're in him, you'll realize that you're free. You're free to love. And even though we're going to have this battle in the wounds, that we care for each other and lift each other up. Because in verse 3 and 4, here it says, you have now died to Christ and your life is hidden in him. So when you die to yourself, you've died now. You are in Christ. You're now hidden in Christ. And here's the promise, verse 4. And I love this. Here's the promise. Why do we keep our minds on things above? Because when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Does that not sound awesome? Amen. That is true for us, that we, when Christ, who is your life, that you are in Christ, that your life is now hidden in him, you will appear with him in glory. We have a hope and a glory to look forward to. Let your minds drift to the things above. Realize you are free from accusations. And because of that, you can now keep your mind on the things above because Christ is before that. He is in those pain. He is in that suffering. And I pray that we would trust him. Where is your mind today? Maybe it's been a battle. Maybe it's in that season. I pray your mind would drift to the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that we continue to dive into the book of Colossians and how it has so much to teach us. But Lord, we are broken people and we feel this battle, Lord, and we submit to you. We turn our lives over to you. I want more of Jesus so that I can feel free from the burdens of this world and the thinking of this world and the accusations to be free in Christ. Let your minds, Lord, let our minds drift to you, be filled with you and your spirit and your presence this morning. I thank you, Lord, for your word and how you love us. And I pray, Father, that we would run in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.